Decades on the job is what we're talking about for the AP. International chops better than anyone else in the business. Now on his own, does it for SheridanHoops.com. We bring in, once again, Chris Sheridan to talk some round ball in the Petros and Money Show here on AM 570 Fox Sports LA. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Hey, Money. How are you, bud?
We're doing good. Power rankings, MVP projection. Seems as though about a fifth, sixth of the way through the season, we now kind of have somewhat of an idea of what teams are good, what teams aren't, and which teams need a little bit of work. Let's start with the power rankings and where the Clippers and Lakers fit in there.
Well, I've been real down on the Clippers, and I've been public about it, and I thought that giving away Eric Gordon in that trade was going to kill them. I thought they should have held out and tried to trade Eric Bledsoe and hang on to Eric Gordon because you need a shooter. Every team needs a shooter, and the Clippers have one of the best in the NBA, and I think with, you know, their depth questions and their lack of rebounding, I think those are still going to probably be their two Achilles heels. But they've done real nicely. They've had the lightest schedule in the NBA, but they've put together quality wins. They've beat quality opponents. They beat the Lakers. They beat the Heat. So they moved them up. They moved up real high in my rankings this week, and I wrote a mea culpa about it and said, all right, for now it looks like I'm wrong, but let's wait and see. You know, this week does bring it back-to-back-to-back that they started nicely last night against the Nets. But I think, all in all, if you're a Clipper fan, you got to be pleased as punch with where the team is right now.
And as for the Lakers, I mean, it was a defensive effort last night. D-Fish hits the big shot. You have Andrew Bynum back and playing very well. How do we feel about the Lakers with Mike Brown, with all these new pieces that at times look confusing, and you forget that that's the Lakers you're watching out there?
Right, and well, I think there's still a work in progress and an incomplete team because Mitch Kupchak, he traded Lamar Odom for a reason, and it was to get a trade exception, and I think he still at some point going to bring in another player, and I think the Lakers need that. They've gotten one, maybe two good games out of the Metal World Peace, Ron Artest, and they miss Odom. They gave him away for nothing. So, what are they going to do with that trade exception that they have, and who can they bring in, and where is their biggest weakness? And yeah, Fish hit that shot last night, but and we've been saying Fish is probably on his way out for about 3 or 4 years now, but I still think they do need to upgrade the point guard position, and that's probably where I'd look for them to make a move, unless they're able to turn Andrew Bynum into Dwight Howard, and I think the Lakers would do that trade in a second, and if they can do that, I don't think they're going to be worried about the Clippers. They're going to be worried about the Thunder and then maybe the Heat or the Bulls in the finals.
Chris Sheridan joining us right now from SheridanHoops.com. Where are we at today in the NBA when a dude runs around with a list, some secret list of teams or maybe not so secret that he wants to be traded to while he's playing for somebody else? What do you make of this whole Dwight Howard thing? Is Dwight handling it correctly?
Well, there's three teams on the trade list, and those are the teams that his agent Dan Fagan has been given permission to talk to, and that's the Nets and the Mavericks and the Lakers, and the Clippers are a team that he would look to go to as a fallback in a sign and trade if he couldn't get to one of his preferred destinations. I think destination number one for him is Brooklyn. He wants to be in a big market, and he wants to team up with a superstar teammate, and he could do that with Deron Williams and. And right now, look, the Nets aren't going to trade for him because Orlando's not going to take damaged goods. So the Nets are banking on the fact that they can get him as a free agent over the summer and then have him join Deron Williams and Brook Lopez and whatever their lottery pick is going to be. And it's going to be a high pick in a deep draft. And that's a pretty good core to build around. And then I think choice number two is the Dallas Mavericks. And what you got to look for in that situation is, if the Dallas Mavericks can move Sean Marion and bring back an expiring contract, then they're going to have enough money under the cap next summer to go out and make max offers to both Deron Williams and to Dwight Howard. And so in that case, it would be a competition between the Nets and the Mavericks for getting both players, because I really think both players are going to end up in the same spot. And then the third possibility is that the Lakers get them, and that would be in a midseason trade, and I imagine it would be for buying them and maybe a little something else. And if that happens, then you can be sure that the New Jersey Nets are going to go and trade Deron Williams, because Deron's not going to go along to the move to Brooklyn if he doesn't have a superstar playing with him. And if Dwight Howard is no longer a possibility because he's been dealt to the Lakers, then Deron Williams is going to be on the market right after that.
What about the way that Howard's handling it, though, Chris? I mean, do you like the way he's handling it? Is there another way to handle it in today's NBA?
Well, everything's kind of public in today's NBA, and Dwight's made it known for 2 years that eventually he's going to want to move on to greener pastures. And I think this is something that we got to get used to, guys, because in the new collective bargaining agreement, the max contracts are 5 years, and for most players, the max you can get is four. So when you have shorter contracts, there's going to be a lot more focus on the future and on future player movement, just because nobody's locked up for 6 or 7 years anymore. So could he have handled it differently? I don't know that he could have, Dwight Howard, because if everybody kind of knows he doesn't want to be there, it's like you said, it's an open secret. So what could he really be doing differently? I think he's. I listened to his public comments after the game yesterday at the Garden against the Knicks, and he said, I'm focused on this team for now and until I get traded, and that's the way I'm going to stick with it. And Carmelo Anthony did that last year, and he played very well for the Nuggets until they traded him. He wasn't really mailing it in, and I think that there's probably been one game this year where Dwight mailed it in, and that was on opening night, but since then he's been a pretty solid performer, and he's got to go about his job and do it the best he can, and he's also got to realize that the guy holding the cards here is Rich DeVos, the Orlando Magic owner, because if that owner doesn't want to trade that player's not getting traded. Yes, Orlando might lose him in the offseason and maybe even get nothing back, but if Rich DeVos says, hey, I'm 85 years old and I want to win a championship in this lifetime and this might be my best chance, even though I might lose the guy at the end of the year, maybe Rich DeVos wants to keep him and try to win the championship this year. They are 9-3. That's not a bad record. And they did knock down 17 three-pointers yesterday. And, when you have the inside-outside combination that team has, you're a contender. I still think they're an upgrade away, maybe a point guard from being close to an elite team, but they're not a bad team, and their record certainly speaks for itself at 9-3.
SheridanHoops.com, Chris Sheridan with us. They mentioned it last night on the TNT broadcast, and it's something I noticed no more than 2-3 games into the season. Pau Gasol just doesn't look like he's very comfortable out there. Well, I should say once Andrew Bynum came back in Mike Brown's system. Have you noticed that? Have you heard anything about how they're trying to use Pau, how to get him involved? And maybe if a Bynum for Howard deal isn't out there, might the Lakers see what Pau Gasol could bring back in return? Maybe a top-shelf point guard.
Well, the Lakers have already shown they're willing to get rid of Pau Gasol because we saw that when they did the first ball trade that was vetoed. So Pau knows that the Lakers feel he's disposable, and I think with any player, once you know a team has tried to trade you, it impacts you, and it impacts your effort level, and it's hard to shake. Pau's got to go out there every night wearing a jersey that he knows the team, in certain situations would have no use for him, and I think that's impacting his play more than Mike Brown's offense. But also, they've gone to a new system, and Pau's been playing in the triangle under Phil for 3 years, and it's different playing under a more defensive-oriented coach and in an offense that's completely different from what you've been used to with the same players that are around you. So, again, what do they play the Lakers, 15 games?
Yeah.
Let's let him get to 30, and then let's take a look at Pau's body of work and see if he's really on a decline or if he's put together a 5-6 game stretch of strong games. But to get back to your original question, I think Pau is a guy they would move in a second if they could bring back a better player. And if whether it's Dwight Howard or whether it's somebody else, Pau Gasol is a replaceable part to that team as long as they can get back somebody else to fill that position for him and another good player.
Chris, is Kobe Bryant your MVP right now, or are you viewed as a hater by the Los Angeles Lakers fan base?
Oh, well, I'm viewed as a hater by all sorts of people. but Clipper fans right now, Nets fans all the time.
Right.
I don't get it. I'm not a hater. I just call them as I see them. And sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm not, and that's the way it goes. But no, I have a post up on my site. If you click on the video tab, you'll see I'm pretty effusive in my praise of Kobe Bryant, and I said this guy is the leader in the clubhouse in the MVP race, and there's absolutely no doubt about it. Those four 40-point games were really something to watch, and he didn't do it last night. Nobody really did for the Lakers or for the Mavericks last night, but for him to be scoring that amount of points and to be playing as well as he has been with the wrist injury, I mean, come on, this guy's head and shoulders above the field. Now, I don't think that was the case when LeBron James was nine games into the season, but right now LeBron James is a team that is on a team that's taken a three-game losing streak into the matchup with the Spurs tonight. So the shine is off the Heat a little bit, and the shine is definitely off LeBron after that West Coast trip when he had so many bad fourth quarters. And I think Kobe Bryant is running away with it right now. But again, we're 15 games in, so we'll get a better picture of probably who the top three or four MVP candidates are after we have a 33-game body of work, which would represent half the season.
All right, Chris, thank you so much for all that great information. SheridanHoops.com. There's nobody like him, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bo. Thanks again for the nice words, too.
Yep.